Hey guys, welcome to episode 61 of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. We're going to be talking about premise this week.
Yeah.
What is it? How do you come up with one? But first, how was your week?
I feel like every week these days are long weeks, but it was decent, I think. I didn't do as much writing as I normally do. I've been really busy with grad school work. I'm giving a talk this upcoming Thursday. And I always get a little anxious, before that. So, that's where most of my focus is. So I've been working on, you know, my PowerPoint presentation and, you know, going through my slides and all that jazz. So,
all right, good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you didn't get to write much.
Nah, it's all right.
I didn't write at all this week. It's the week after Chaos Court. And so it's court follow-up, it's doing court orders, it's filing stuff in, it's trying to get caught up on all the stuff that I didn't do while it was court week. So it's been really busy that way. My little business that I have that, you know, my Etsy business.
Yeah.
I went and renewed the contract up at the mall.
Nice. Okay.
So I did that for another 6 months. I put up some wine glasses for sale. I've got a wine glass background going on in the video if y'all are watching and not listening. Worked on t-shirts with my new Cricut machine. I've been having fun, but that's the only fun that I've had. I didn't do any writing.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
What are you eating and drinking?
Well, I've already eaten my food, but I had Zaxby's chicken tenders. So those were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then I'm drinking tea because I might have drank too much on Friday. so I don't really want alcohol right now.
Oh man, I'm doing the alcohol thing.
I'm
doing a kamikaze today.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
I've been wanting tequila. And so I was going to do something with tequila, but I don't know. I think tequila is dangerous. So I'm doing vodka instead.
Fair but enough.
I've got a whole full glass full.
Lovely. So you should be set for
I hope so.
Episode.
This is one of the glasses that you gave me. So
oh, fun.
Yeah, it's that. I haven't taken a picture of it. I'm not eating anything yet. We didn't thaw anything. We were supposed to thaw. So I don't know what we're going to do for dinner. And it's dinner time now, so I have no idea.
Lovely.
I have jokes.
Let's hear them.
Couldn't find any jokes on premise. The only jokes on premise that I could find were premises like location, not premise.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to do Harry Potter jokes. So that's
great.
That's what I did.
Wonderful.
How do the Malfoys enter a building?
How?
They slither in.
Oh, God. I should have known that one.
Yeah. Why does Voldemort only use Twitter and not Facebook?
Why?
Because he only has followers, not friends.
Ah.
That's a pretty good one.
That is a pretty good one.
And why is Mad-Eye Moody such a bad teacher?
Why?
Because he can't control his pupils.
Oh, wow. Poor Mad-Eye.
That's the second week in a row I did a Moody joke.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about premise.
All right. So to start off, you know, what is a premise? It's the main idea behind a story or other writing project. So basically in literary terms, it's just your main idea behind whatever story you're trying to tell. It's the most basic foundation of a writer's work. It supports the plot. It can usually be stated in one sentence.
Yeah, and that one sentence or two sentences conveys the whole story. It's not,
right,
you know, my book is about drama. No, it's a actual, it conveys that the whole story arc that you've got.
Right,
which
right.
is really hard to do. It's also the fundamental concept that drives the plot. It's kind of like a log line, you know, similar, not exactly. We did an episode on killer log lines, writing killer log lines. I think it was episode 31-ish.
Yikes.
So y'all can go listen to that if you want to hear about how to do log lines. But a log line is generally written for an agent or a, you know, a person that you're selling to after the book is written. Not
right.
always, but often, whereas a premise is for you, the writer, and is written prior to you beginning writing the book.
Yeah.
Not always, but often. In fact, the here's a little nerd tip, because I took Latin for 4 years in high school and in college. It comes from the Latin to put before. That's a loose translation. So premise it's similar to like prologue, which is also a before Latin term, but premise comes from, it means put before, which is basically what we're doing. We're doing this before we get into the writing of the book.
Right.
According to Writer's Digest, which I always look to see what they have to say.
Yeah, always good.
A story can only have one premise, just one, which I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Because it's not plots. We're not talking about plots. You can have kajillion plots.
Right.
It's the premise of your story. So I thought that was an interesting comment.
No, that is really interesting. Huh. All right. Well, then why is knowing your premise important? You know, if you can establish what your premise is at the beginning of your project, then you'll have an easier time writing your story. So like you said, typically a premise is, you know, you come up with that before you start writing the novel.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the log line, which is for the agent, and you come up with like after you're done with the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mostly because the fundamental concept that you create here for this premise in advance will drive the actions of your characters as you're writing your story. It will help you craft a story that works. So as long as you know the basic premise, the basic foundation of your story, it will help you craft a story that works as a whole.
Yeah, it kind of helps you to know whether you've got just an idea or whether you have the actual premise. There is a difference between those two. And
right.
A premise gets you all the way through the novel, and an idea starts the novel.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Story premises, whatever, serve as both a hook for the reader and a guiding light for the writer. You know, so it provides a kind of storytelling roadmap from the very first page of your novel to the very last.
I like that guiding light.
I do too.
Thing. That's a good idea. It is a good idea to, spend time writing that solid premise, which we're going to tell you how to do.
Right.
Just like a building needs a strong foundation, you really can't start writing without having that strong premise.
Well, yeah.
I'll get into that later. You can start writing, but you can't effectively write an entire novel without that premise.
Right. Because I mean, like, think about when we do our paragraph writings with each other, like a lot of the time we're just writing and doing whatever comes to mind as we're going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it just fizzles out because we don't have a premise. There is zero premise to what we're writing.
Or it gets to the point where, okay, we like what we're writing. It's time to come up with the premise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This really could turn into an actual story as opposed to just practicing with our writing techniques.
Right. Yeah.
So that was kind of what I was going to say next. A lot of times you start with your idea, but you can't start the novel without that inkling of what the book is about. So it's okay to just write scenes, like you do a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
Or like you said, you and I do our paragraph writing, but at some point it either turns into part of a novel or it just fizzles out, like you said, and becomes, it's just practice writing, which is, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right. Yeah.
But untethered by the foundation of a real story and your premise, you risk becoming lost in the woods of your story.
Right.
You end up writing yourself into those literary corners, which we've all done, which we've talked about before in other episodes. And the reason for that is you don't have a strong premise guiding that guiding light to take you on. Now, also, we did an outline episode.
Yes. Yeah.
Which also helps prevent you from going into these literary corners.
Those blind alleys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the premise is the overall guiding light. I really do like that term. That was clever. I had never thought of that. And I read one blog that this is really cool too. It said that the premise is a container that holds the essence of your story's right, true, and natural structure.
Huh, that's very nice.
Yeah, very nicely put. And I didn't write down what blog I got that from, but that caught my attention. So I wrote it down.
Yeah, Katzen. You don't walk on my, he's trying to walk on the computer. Sorry. yeah, no, I really enjoy that sentence. That was very, very beautifully put.
Mm-hmm.
So what should a premise include? So a brief description of your protagonist, such as, you know, a teenage wizard or a grizzled detective, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll also include a simple explanation of what your main character desires or needs. What are their goals? What does your character want? You know, why are they in this story in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, what crisis or extraordinary situation does your protagonist find themselves in? In other words, I think conflict. What kind of conflict is here in your novel?
Yeah, I found a really good blog, and I wrote this one down. It was the Write Practice, W-R-I-T-E, practice.com, that has an excellent example of what you just said. It says that a premise includes the protagonist, the goal, and the crisis. And then the example that they gave was from The Wizard of Oz. And he said, a young girl is swept away to a magical land by a tornado and must embark on a quest to see the wizard who can help her return home.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of a log line too. So,
which, you know, as I was doing research for this, the more and more that I was looking at things, the more and more I was like, wow, this is a lot like a log line. Because I just wrote one for Louis and Delaney, log line.
Mm-hmm.
But of course I wrote that after knowing the entire story.
Yes.
And where, you know, that was coming from, but you're right.
Yeah. And that sentence isn't really enough to be the overall guiding light. It gives you a general guiding light.
Right.
But there's not a lot of detail there, which, you know, you can get from outlining or whatnot, but I feel like a premise might have more than that. Here's another example.
Okay.
Carrie by Stephen King.
Ooh.
A girl must learn to cope with the shock of womanhood as well as the arrival of dangerous and supernatural powers.
Huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah. Interesting examples. I've got more in-depth examples later on, but that's just to give you an idea of what it looks like. You were talking about the protagonist, the goal, the crisis, the ghouls, fantasy, man. And both of those sentences have that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree. I think those are actually very good and also very well known. So, like, awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So what are some tips that we can use to create a strong premise?
Yeah. Tell us.
Yes. So first, begin with a theme. We've talked about theme before. We've done episodes on theme. But, you know, when writing fiction, novelists, short story writers, yada, 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 we often begin with themes that interest us. You know, what real life problems are you interested in exploring in your story? Are you interested in the corruptive influence of wealth? Are you interested in how technology affects society? Are you interested in, you know, the battle between faith and doubt? Whatever you are interested in exploring, in terms of a theme, that's a pretty good place to start coming up with a premise for a novel.
You know, I think a lot of urban fantasy novels have a theme of good versus evil. Well, high fantasy for sure, but even urban fantasy. Right now I'm still reading the Grave Witch, the last Grave Witch book, and it's so good. I just don't have time to read it. But I think all of her books can come down to what is good and evil and the grayness
in between.
Yeah.
And like the choices we have to make. You're right. Mm-hmm. I love the Alex Craft novels, the Grave Witch novels. She's very good at that.
She is.
Ask yourself simple questions. So like one of the most basic steps that you can take to create a story or generate story ideas is to just ask yourself questions.
Mm-hmm.
Begin with whatever that first thing that like makes you want to write this story is. What is that first little seed that you've come up with that's like, oh, I could write a story on this. You know, whether that's a character or a plot idea, or you just have this idea of a scene in your mind or a snippet of conversation between two characters.
And you know what? Write that down in your writer's journal.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I have taken to writing it in my phone, especially because like my phone is with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, absolutely. Write it down because, oh, and then also just a little side tangent. When you write it down in your writer's journal, make it detailed, because I have gone back to weird one sentence notes and I've been like, I am sure that was really cool when I thought of it, but I have no idea what it means now.
I bet every listener understands exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Ask yourself questions that begin with what if. You know, what if when a 12-year-old boy discovers he's a wizard, what happens then? Mm-hmm. What if a girl could talk to her pets? Answer those questions and expand that seed into a full-fledged idea and eventually a solid premise.
Yeah, I love the what ifs. We've talked about that many times. So handy in all kinds of aspects of our writing.
Absolutely.
And then once you have that basic idea that, you know, that your what ifs and your questions have brought you to, think about your protagonist specifically. Try to get a sense of what your protagonist's problem is, like you were talking about the conflict, because your protagonist is generally the one that is going to deal with this conflict, and it's probably going to change him or her as it goes through.
Right.
And try to get a sense for what's going to trigger this protagonist. Wow. I am drinking, but I haven't had that much.
Not that much.
So yeah. So once you do all those questions and you've written this down in your journal, start thinking about your protagonist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's mm-hmm. a really good tip. Ensure that your characters have a strong motivation. So a lot of premises are born from a character's motivation or primary goal. Like we were talking about earlier, make sure to include your goal or the crisis or the conflict or whatever in your premise.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning with a simple character motivation can help to develop other parts of the premise as well.
Yeah. Speaking of motivation, your characters all want something tangible.
Yeah.
Well, tangible may not be the right word, but like money or the romantic interest, or, you know, in action adventure ones, you've got to stop the bad guy from having that radioactive dirty bomb go off.
Right.
So that's something that your characters all want, and you need to know what those wants are.
Yeah.
Think about the external pushback too. Something that opposes that goal that you've now figured out, you know, they want the money or they want the romantic interest. What is the pushback against that goal? What is it? What force is it that's going to create that dramatic friction, that opposition? Who is the opposing force? What is the opposing force if it's not a who?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also be able to explain your premise in as few words as possible, which I thought this one was really interesting.
Hmm.
Cause that's especially what made me think of a log line.
Yes.
It's cause you want to have it as succinct, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. as possible. I wasn't sure if I said it right.
You did.
But, you know, cause once you've settled on your basic story idea, make sure that it can be explained simply and quickly. So write it down, say it out loud. How does it sound? Does it flow well in as few words as possible? Is there a way to eliminate extraneous words? Like, is there a lot of extra description that you've put in? Like that kind of thing. You know, think about it in terms of an elevator pitch.
Yeah. Thinking of the elevator pitch, remember last year? Was it last year? Yeah. That we went to the seminar and we both pitched.
Yes. Yeah.
And we spent a long time talking it out loud to make sure that it sounded right. I mean, a pitch is also different than the log line and also different from the premise. But
right.
Both the pitch and the log line have the premise within it.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
And vice versa, I guess. But, you know, having a good premise takes you a long way towards developing that pitch, which... You know, you wrote one of my pitches drunk.
I was drunk.
Yes. And you sat down and it took you like not even 5 minutes and you wrote it down. And that was the one I used because it was brilliant.
Well, thank you.
I did find a template. You know how I am about liking these templates and things. And it was on writermag.com, WriterMag.com. And I wish I could show this. I guess those listening wouldn't be able to see it even if I could share the screen, but it is when, which is the key word there, some event sparks a character to action, comma, that another key word, character acts with deliberate purpose, another key word, until that action is opposed by an external force, comma, another key word leading to some conclusion.
Yeah.
So I'll post this on our website because it's hard to say it. I'm looking at it, but
definitely,
for, you know, yeah, you all to listen to it probably doesn't do it justice. So the win is an event that provokes the protagonist to act. The character act is the protagonist joining with one or more people to do the act.
Yeah.
Some desire with purposeful intention. The until, the protagonist's actions are met by some external force that generates disorder and or chaos, which is the adventure, which
right,
even love stories have some kind of adventure. It's the definition of adventure. You know, we're not necessarily talking about he's jumping off buildings and, you know, things exploding.
Right, right.
Adventure is going outside of your norm. Leading to the change. Chaos leads to resolution, the evolutionary change for your protagonist. And the example of this one's a more detailed, this one I like better as a premise than the two ones that I read before.
Right, like the two short ones or whatever.
Yes, this one is more detailed. It is from Jaws. And all of this is on that writermag.com blog.
Nice, okay.
When a fish out of water, big city cop moves to a small coastal town dependent on tourism, he must team up with an oceanographer and a crusty sailor to convince the doubting, money-grubbing town folk to close their beaches because a giant man-eating shark is lurking just offshore until the shark strikes, forcing the town folk to allow the cop and his buddies to take on the shark mano a mano.
I do like that one a lot more than the other ones too, because that does, like you said, it does offer more for you to work with when you're trying to come up with your whole story.
And if you're doing this from the very beginning, you already, it helps guide your writing. You know that you're sailor character is going to be crusty. And so you're automatically going to describe him in ways that bring that trait out. And,
yeah,
you know, he's doing things that bring that image that you have in your mind of a crusty sailor.
Yes.
Money grubbing town folk. You already can envision scenes from, you know, that to explain this, how you get across the money grubbing aspect of these town folk. The shark is lurking. I mean, man-eating. Yeah, good adjectives. So if I had this when I was sitting down to write that book to begin with, I've got a very strong roadmap, like you called it earlier,
to carry
me through writing this book.
Right, because there are, like you said, there are very obvious points in there where it's like, how are they going to get past these money-grubbing townsfolk to do whatever? You know, like, so there are very obvious, like, plot points. Mm-hmm. That you can hit using that premise. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So that's all I've got. Do you have anything more?
I forgot to write down an interview question, but I have one.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. So do you typically find that you come up with your premise before you start writing a book, or do you typically write the book and then eventually do the log line thing?
I am so bad. I am not the person that you really want to emulate on how you write your novels. I generally start, well, I must say Harper is going differently. I haven't written anything on Harper, which is unheard of for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I like to start my writing like we do our paragraph writing.
Right. Yes.
A lot of my books, I have a dream and I wake up and it's fresh in my mind and it really makes me think, and I sit down and I just start writing. And from there, like the Cada story.
Yeah.
It actually had, I wrote a prologue.
Oh, was the very oh that's right.
Start I do of that, that book. And that never made it into the final book, but it got me writing.
Yeah.
So no, I did not have a premise. And no, I normally do not. Although Harper is shaping up differently. I've got all the ideas that I'm writing down, but I haven't set down. And I probably will this time sit down and have my premise. I'm going to try to do a nice detailed one like this one, that example I just read.
Yeah.
Because I think that might be a better way to write. But everybody's different.
Yep.
You certainly don't have to do it this way and certainly don't have to listen to me. Well, you can listen to me. I like you listening to me, but you don't have to take what I say as, you know, the gospel or anything like that.
Right, right.
What about you?
I'm the same way. I actually was thinking about this, and I do not ever write down a premise before I start writing. I will do kind of an outline sometimes. But again, I think I talked about it in our outlining episode, like even then I'll do it chapter by chapter. So like as I write, I'll outline the next chapter and then I'm like, okay, that's where I'm going. And then I'll outline the next chapter when I work on that second one or whatever.
I think doing a premise would make us better writers.
I agree. I was, you know, I might do it for, so I started rewriting, Aiden, and she is fighting me so hard on writing her at all. So I might actually just go back, not like restart writing again, but like write a premise for it, and go from there.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for second books, which both you and I are writing second books right now, I'm writing my second freaking fairies book and you're writing your second Louie and Delaney book.
Yeah.
I think a second book is even more important to have a premise because you can get lost, like I said earlier, because you've already got this wonderful world that's there.
Yes.
And it's so, what is the word? Tantalizing to not, that's not the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say? To go off, you don't know what I'm trying to say.
I don't.
No one knows what I'm trying to say.
But to explore the world more than exploring like a premise for a story in that sense.
Yes. Yeah. You have this desire to go off on these things because the background's already there.
Right.
And so if you don't have that premise to keep you on track of this story is about this, like I'm having the problem with my second freaking fairies. It was supposed to be Dern Dragons. And
I
didn't do a premise. I didn't do an outline. And all of a sudden it's becoming Greedy Goblins.
Greedy Goblins, right.
Which is not where I had thought it was going to go. But I bet if I had taken the time to write a really detailed premise, which has everything from start to finish, I would have been more on topic instead of going off on the tangent that now may be Greedy Goblins.
Yeah, but again, I don't know that that's a bad thing.
I don't know either. I like the goblins. It's a whole world that I had no concept of goblins when I started this. It happened by accident.
Yeah.
The fairies actually accidentally, well, they didn't accidentally. They brought a goblin to come see Beck because she's so interesting to the fae people. And that started it, but I meant for it to be about the dragons, the relationship of her friend that helped her in book one.
Right.
And his mate and the problems. I meant for it to be that story, but it's all of a sudden diverged. And I don't know, like you said, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but at some point it's not talking to me right now. So I'm working on Harper right now, but anyway, I think a premise is a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, if you get stuck on writer's block, maybe step back and go back and look at your premise if you have one. And if you don't have one, that might be a good time to write one that might
absolutely
get you out of that writer's block.
I really think that is what I am going to do with Aiden. Now that I've done research for this podcast topic, I will actually probably go back and just write a premise for it just to, you know where I want to go with it. Cause like I have an outline for it. There's just something, it's fighting me. It's fighting me very hard. So.
Oh, and we have a new patron.
We do. We do. We do.
I am so excited. We have a new patron and we really appreciate you. And I am so excited. Oh, and Jen also gave us, our first patron gave us some other ideas for topics. So we are going to have to do some of those topics as well. She still wants the sex scenes, which we haven't done yet. May not happen.
Eventually, maybe. Let me drink it's important on that one or something.
I think it's important because even in straight urban fantasy, you've got to have some kind of, well, you don't have to, but you generally have some kind of sex scene. And so I think it would be really good to talk about the sex scene from like Patricia Briggs, which is minimal, to the sex scenes and some other ones, which is not minimal. And mm-hmm. all in between, there's no wrong answer. And I, you know, just because I'm your mother shouldn't make you feel uncomfortable.
It's whatever. I have a sentence challenge for our listeners for today. And it is just, well, we all have to start somewhere.
Oh, interesting.
So that is the sentence for today. So if you're interested, write a whole page or whatever, do you, and then send it in.
Jen has sent us a bunch. So right
she
now,
has. She's amazing.
She is. Our right now, our little mini episode that's going to be doing this is all Jen. So yes, send in some
stuff. Them in. We would love it. I need to write them myself. I need to go back through and get all my sentences that I've given y'all and write them also. So
yeah, me too. Yeah. I need to somehow in my time come up with writing time. It seems to be the thing that has taken the hit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to have a day job that brings in money so I can feed my children and that kind of thing.
You have one child that you have to feed.
I know. She doesn't eat much, you know, really.
Wow.
All right, y'all, come check out our website. That's the word. Yes. Website. It is eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. You can find links to everything there. We've got social media, email, all of that kind of thing. Check us out on our Patreon, patreon.com/EDW. It does take time, effort, money to do these kind of things. We love doing it. Writing is so important to us and so important to all of you listening that we would really love the support. Take care of yourselves. And I guess we will see you next week.
Yes. Thanks, guys.